You're in the grand theme of things. The Logbook.com soundtrack mixtape podcast is back with more selections, all centered around a single theme. A setting, similar plots, maybe something else. Something connects all the music you'll be hearing today. I'm Earl Green. Sit back and relax and enjoy a little bit of free association with music from movies, TV, and games. It's all in the grand theme of things. Welcome back to In the Grand Theme of Things. I apologize for this month's podcast being a little bit on the late side. I suppose I should explain just a little bit, because I owe you an explanation. The reason the podcast is late is because I set about a marathon round of proofing and proofreading over several weeks to get my third book out the door, and it is now out there. I'll post a link to it where you can get it and where you can see some more details about it on the shiny new In the Grand Theme of Things sub-site, thelogbook.com. This may or may not excite anyone. It excites me, and that should be enough for you. I mean, really, what more do you want from me? No, seriously. And the Grand Theme of Things was previously confined to a single page on the Logbook's music reviews area, which means that it had no RSS feed of its own. Now it does, and you can subscribe to it, and you should subscribe to it. Really, I mean that, because that way you can keep up with when there's a new podcast, even if it's woefully late like it is this month. So now that the work on the book is done, I'm trying to get caught up on my podcasts more or less all at once. And this month we are playing the songs of Icy Worlds. Oh yes, this is an exciting time for space exploration. And it's kind of funny, I originally set out to produce a soundtrack podcast with a variety of source material and not just stuff that happened to be sci-fi or space related. And, you know, after about 3 years of doing this podcast, I just need to own my own limitations and just say, you know what, this is a podcast that more often than not is going to be about music from spacey stuff. And furthermore, I'm going to completely break the rules of the podcast this month by playing stuff that isn't necessarily what you would consider a soundtrack. It is not something that accompanied a movie or a television show or a game or, so far as I know, any kind of visual presentation. It's kind of the soundtrack to an event. Does that make it a soundtrack or does that make it not a soundtrack? Well, we'll find out. As pointed out, the theme this month is Songs of Icy Worlds, Minor Planets, Comets, Asteroids, Big Balls of Ice Floating Out in Space. There's a bunch of them. Here's a bunch of them. The entire solar system is surrounded by them. You have the Kuiper Belt, which is full of little bodies like Pluto and Eris and Sedna and Makemake, which they just recently discovered has a moon. It has its own moon. What is that about? It's not even as big as Pluto, and yet it qualifies for a moon. Well, I say it qualifies. It's not like there's a government office that just issues moons to their planetary bodies of sufficient size. Oh, you're above the threshold? Here, have a moon. That's not how it happens. If I don't lose some more weight soon, you know, they'll probably be here with a moon for me. Unless that's what my 19-month-old kid is. Wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. That's where moons come from. Moving along. This is an incredibly busy time for space exploration. Right now, as we speak, We have Rosetta orbiting Comet 67P. And I'm going to try to get this right. And what's worse, I'm going to try to get this right from memory. I think it's 67P Gerasimov-Churyenko. I am almost certainly wrong about that. You have NASA's Dawn mission orbiting Ceres, the largest body in the main asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. New Horizons flyby of Pluto was last year, but it is now on course for a previously unexplored object in the Kuiper Belt, which at this point is literally just a speck of light in some Hubble photos. It will get there on New Year's Day 2019. We have Mars rovers and orbiters. Now, Mars isn't really icy. Venus certainly isn't icy, but it's an exciting time for exploration of Venus because Japan's Akatsuki space probe has finally gone into orbit around Venus. Akatsuki was launched a long time ago, and its target was Venus. It was always intended to go to Venus, and then when it was supposed to fire its main engine and go into orbit around Venus several years ago, the engine failed. And they started doing some fault checking, started looking at telemetry, and Japan's space agency figured out that that main engine had most likely destroyed itself in some sort of overpressure event that could just as easily have destroyed the entire vehicle. But just the engine went out. And so Akatsuki went into orbit around the sun, kind of near Venus. It was in a what is called a resonant orbit with Venus, where it shared some of the orbital characteristics of Venus, but was not keeping up with the planet. Late last year, Akatsuki had the opportunity to go into orbit using just its thrusters, because its orbit and Venus's orbit would be close enough for it to do that without a full burst from its main engine. That is exactly what happened. The ground controllers in Japan commanded Akatsuki to fire its thrusters, and it successfully entered orbit of Venus. And so, several years late, it has now begun its science mission. That's astonishing. That's astonishing. It just blows my mind how clever and delicious human beings are. And clever. Just clever, really. Sorry, strike that last part. We also have Juno approaching Jupiter. It will be getting there in July, early July. Juno approaching Jupiter in July. So it's a good time to jump on board if you like looking at planets, learning about planets, because we've got robots all over the solar system. It's like they're taking over, and we're letting them. We're sending them. And you have me stuck here on Earth playing soundtracks. So let's get straight to it. I mentioned the Rosetta mission to Comet 67P. And it turns out that particular mission has inspired not one, but two soundtracks, if indeed you want to call them that. One of them is not actually, so far as I know, it is not actually available on iTunes, Amazon. I've looked. Of course, that just means I didn't find it. Doesn't mean it's not out there. But it is on YouTube, and that is the source of what I'll be playing for you first. This is by Vangelis. Yes, Vangelis of Chariots of Fire and Blade Runner and Antarctica fame. The European Space Agency, which is variously called depending on who you ask, ESA or ESA, commissioned Vangelis to provide music for the Rosetta mission. This music comes in, it's actually sort of a three-movement suite, or at least that's how I have edited it down. And there are three distinct pieces. In order, they are Rosetta's Waltz, Arrival, and Philae's Journey. Now, Philae, of course, was the lander that the Rosetta space probe dropped off, which bounced across the surface of Comet 67P, the first man-made thing ever to land on the surface of a comet, delivered by the first man-made thing ever to orbit a comet. That's right, Obi. And so it's just, there's so many firsts packed into this mission, and we can add to it. Well, actually, no, this is not the first space mission music provided by Vangelis. I almost forgot. Vangelis did a full CD-length soundtrack for NASA's 2001 Mars Odyssey mission. And we'll be playing some of that. I can't believe I forgot that, because it's actually on my list for another installment of the podcast. The CD was called Methodia. The CD for that Mars mission soundtrack, which, again, was not accompanying a film or a television show or anything like that. It was just music inspired by the mission. So, man, Vangelis is kind of your go-to guy for soundtracks about interplanetary missions. Here is the full Rosetta Suite. The Rosetta Mission Suite, commissioned by the European Space Agency, composed by none other than Vangelis himself. Now, that's not the only multimedia experience that the European Space Agency plunked down money for to publicize. The Rosetta mission also inspired this great little short film called Ambition, which is on YouTube, and I will post a link to it on the site. It's a neat little movie. It's a just a great little concept. And it's one of those things that's just... It's so terribly European. I can't imagine NASA doing something, you know, with apologies to NASA, I can't imagine NASA doing something this cool to publicize one of their missions. Of course, because if NASA did, the way Congress works in this country and the way politics work in this country, which is to say they don't work at all, at least not in any useful fashion, the way things work in this country, NASA, you know, NASA's top brass would have their asses dragged before Congress to explain, hey, this is public funding. Why did you use it to make a little movie? I think everyone would let them off the hook if it was something as cool as Ambition, but that's not going to happen. The music for Ambition was composed by Antonis Valkov, and the soundtrack for Ambition is actually much longer than the movie because it also features music directly inspired by and including sound clips from the Rosetta mission, at least from the launch of the Rosetta mission in the early days. So it's, in some ways, this kind of violates my, you know, one of my cardinal rules of soundtracks, which is thou shalt not release a soundtrack with dialogue mixed into the music. Most of the time, I hate that. In this case, they actually sample it, work it into the music. It's kind of neat. And yeah, I'm probably sucker matter. That would have made a tremendous amount of sense there. I'm so much of a sucker for the subject matter that I'm letting them off the hook on this one. So here is some music from both Ambition and for the Rosetta mission. The composer is Antonis Valkov. The soundtrack is Ambition. Thank you.
ADDO, attention pour le décompte final.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
That was Antonis Volkov's music from the short film Ambition, which was commissioned by the European Space Agency to promote the Rosetta and Philae mission to Comet 67P. Rosetta is still, as I record this, it is still at that comet. Although at some point, I believe the plan is to let it crash into the comet to end its mission, it will eventually run out of the maneuvering fuel it needs to maintain its orbit. Because the comet is an irregularly shaped body, the means of harnessing its gravity to stay in orbit is a bit of a roller coaster ride. It's not something we have perfected yet. The trajectory, the orbit, really, not the trajectory, the orbit of Rosetta has to be constantly adjusted to keep it from crashing into Comet 67P. Eventually, it will run out of the fuel it needs for those constant maneuvers, and it will become a part of the comet. Who knows, it may wind up next to Philae, the little lander that stopped transmitting after hours on the surface, because it apparently landed on its side, or else it bounced so hard off the comet that it went back into space. We really don't know, although they received signals from it again at some point, so it seems like a fairly good bet that it is on the comet, landed on its side so that its solar panels would not receive a charge from the sun, and there it died. And there too will Rosetta rest someday in the not-too-distant future. So we will now move further out into the solar system, into the asteroid belt. Unfortunately, there is no music for the Dawn mission, which has been to the asteroid Vesta and is now orbiting and mapping Ceres, which has turned out to be just one of the coolest little planetoids you can imagine. Very cool, because it's very icy, which fits in with our theme. Dawn mission has been an epic success, but unlike the European Space Agency, NASA can't really do this kind of artistic commissioning thing to commemorate its missions, because someone would inevitably jump all over them for misuse of funds. Of course, if they were given adequate funding for interplanetary exploration in the first place, it wouldn't be that much of an issue, but I won't go down that rabbit hole because we're here to talk about soundtracks, so let's stay on that, shall we? We have music from another asteroid mission, the Japanese Space Agency's Hayabusa mission. Launched in 2003, Hayabusa landed on asteroid, 25143 Itokawa in 2005. It brought with it a mini rover, sort of like Rosetta brought Philae with it, but the little rover failed on its way to the surface and just kind of went smoosh. Actually, I'm not sure it even detached, for that matter. So, Hayabusa was the mission plan changed ever so slightly. Hayabusa actually went down to the surface to collect samples and then lift off again, which was really tricky because it could just as easily have crashed. Itokawa is, unlike Ceres, not a big sphere. It is an irregularly shaped body, sort of like Comet 67P. So it actually makes this more of an apt musical experience than you expected. Hayabusa left Itokawa intact with samples and returned them to Earth, although the trip back to Earth from Itokawa with those samples took 4.5 years. The Hayabusa mission was such a source of national pride for Japan that there were not one but two docudrama-style movies made about the mission. Now, we already featured music from Hayabusa, The Long Journey Home, way back when, one of the earlier podcasts back in Season 1 of In the Grand Theme of Things. And we're now going to play music from another Hayabusa-inspired movie, which also came out in 2012. The movie is called Okiere Hayabusa, also known as Welcome Home Hayabusa. Now, this is a rather bittersweet thing to include in this month's podcast because composer Asao Tomita just died a couple of weeks ago as this was recorded. Stargazers in America know his music well enough because his cover of Debussy's Arabesque No. 1 was the theme song for the PBS series Star Hustler for decades. And if you want to track it down, that version of that Debussy piece in full, it's much longer than the little snippet of it they always played on Star Hustler. That is from the album Snowflakes Are Dancing by Isao Tomita. And so is this soundtrack. Here are selections from, and this is really an awesome soundtrack because this is the first of two pieces I am playing you this month that actually try to make music out of something not unlike the sounds of the radio transmissions from the spacecraft. So listen up close, travel along to asteroid Itokawa with Hayabusa. The soundtrack is Welcome Home, Hayabusa from 2012. The composer is the late, great Isao Tomita.
Thank you.
Music from the 2012 film Welcome Home Hayabusa, about the Hayabusa mission to asteroid Irokawa. The composer was the late Isao Tomita. Arigato, Mr. Tomita. Arigato. This brings us to our last piece, which may completely break the soundtrack, or break the soundtrack podcast by not being a soundtrack, necessarily. Of course, what makes something a soundtrack? It is a piece of music about something. This is really kind of an interesting philosophical question to cover, because this could blow this whole concept wide open. Does a soundtrack have to accompany a film or a television show or a game? In classical music, there is a category of music called program music. Program music is music that is intended to accompany a story. Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade is a great example of program music. Holst's The Planets is... It doesn't really have a story, but you're moving outward into the planets, covering each one of them, you know, the classical planets as they were known during Holst's lifetime prior to the discovery of Pluto. So that could be program music. All soundtracks, technically, are program music. So is all program music a soundtrack? It's music about something, but it's not a song about something. It's not a song with words so that you know what it is. You have only the composer's sleeve notes and the title that he or she gives the thing to tell you what it's about. And in some cases, things are given titles that give you no clue as to what they're about. An interesting question for this next piece of music. It's a little two-movement piano piece by Bulgarian composer Alexander Rachev. He's a classically trained pianist, and he has composed original music for the Hamburg Planetarium in Germany. Horizon, which is also sometimes billed as Pluto, is a two-movement piece available on iTunes and Amazon. The first movement is On the Way to Pluto, and the second movement is simply Pluto. And it really kind of conveys the effect of an information-dense flyby past the planet, and then plunging into deep space, having accomplished that mission. I hate to talk about this stuff before you listen to something, because you really should be free to interpret music on your own. But pay attention to how this thing ends, because the engineering and the performance just scream increasing distance and plunging into nothingness. And I sincerely hope that Alexander Rachev will stick around for New Year's 2019, because New Horizons has not made its last stop. It'll be going to the fairly recently discovered Kuiper Belt object 2014 MU69, which is something that we know only as a speck on some photos sent back by the Hubble Space Telescope. The Hubble telescope was actually doing a sweep of the outer solar system looking for follow-up candidate bodies for New Horizons to visit after its Pluto encounter. So this is something that we didn't even know was out there until 2 years ago. We're going there now. That's amazing! And so is this. It's Pluto by Alexander Rachev. Music is by Alexander Rachev. It's not from a TV show, it's not from a movie. It's from space, baby. That suite was called Pluto, although in the in the file information, because I got my copy from Amazon, and you should too. One of the reasons I knocked this podcast down to 96 kbits per second is not only so, you know, an hour or so of music and me talking about music doesn't take up a huge amount of my server space, it's also to kind of make you want to go get your own copy, because you should be supporting the composers and the labels putting this stuff out. Alexander Rachev has kind of put this out into the ether on his own, and so if you're going to support any, you know, if you're going to plunk down money for any of these, yeah, make this the one, because this is not someone with a label behind him. That's it for this month's In the Grand Theme of Things. Again, sorry that the podcast was late this month. Hopefully, it was worth it to you. Until next time, I'm Earl Green. We'll be back with more tunes, and we'll discover more moons. Okay, I'm going to stop with the dad humor rhyming right there. However, while I won't indulge my cheesy poetry side, I am going to indulge myself on one other front. This is decidedly not a soundtrack, but it fits in so perfectly with this theme. It's a little song that somebody wrote about Voyager 1, which has left the solar system. So, boy, I'm totally breaking the rules of this podcast all over the place. We'll see you next time.
In the universe, all alone, in the
That's all for now. In the grand theme of things, we'll be back next week with more movie, TV, and game music connected by a common theme. Just a reminder, all of the music you've heard is copyrighted by the respective composers, labels, and studios. Visit www.thelogbook.com/music/podcast for a listing of what you heard in this installment and links to purchase your own copies. Due to restrictions on file size and storage, what you've heard today was presented at a fairly low audio quality. By purchasing the commercially available CDs or downloads, you can hear it even better. I strongly encourage you to support the labels that are taking the time and expense to remaster and reissue classic soundtrack music. They're making music available to which longtime movie and TV music fans have never dreamed of having access, and I hope you'll join me in supporting them. In the Grand Theme of Things is written, produced, and hosted by Earl Green.